Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Razor Edge production, CLB, the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. The name has changed, but the mission remains the same. It's showtime, and here's our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
Good afternoon. Hello, greetings, my listening audience. This is Reverend Ray Razor. I am your host for the CLB, Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind Talk Radio Show. And our mission is to bring information about the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. They're over 100 and some years, we'll get that specifically, being in existence in Washington, D.C., in the metropolitan area. And we're going to bring the different programs to you that the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind serve throughout the metropolitan area. And today, Ms. Renee, we're going to have...
Oh, I was waiting for you to ask you, how was I?
I am interested. Well, you're a little muffled. I don't know what happened. Did you move your microphone?
I may have a, just in the excitement of it. Can you hear me better now?
Not as well as you did when you first started.
Huh? Well, I don't know. It must be something in the atmosphere.
I mean, did you move the phone? That's okay.
No, sir, I did not.
All righty. Let's rewind. Miss Renee, how are you doing today?
Okay. Reverend Ray, I am confused. I know this is the weekend that you either move the clocks back or forward. I always get it mixed up. Which ones do we do?
They say fall back and spring forward. That's what I remember from, I think, just one of the things in one of my English class while I was going to Maryland School for the Blind. I do remember that.
So which one do you get the extra hour of sleep, in the fall or the spring?
Now, Ms. Renee, you asking me too much confusion. I told you I only listened to one thing in that class. And that's all I remember.
I'll ask an expert.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you.
Okay. We have to get our own Bob Ryan. I know only the baby boomers remember Bob Ryan, the weatherman.
Exactly.
And all.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Ms. Renee. So now, since all of that progress is over with, give us our lineup for today.
Well, organizations are a lot like automobiles. Most of us drive them, but few of us know what goes on under the hood. And today, we are going to look under the hood at CLB, formerly known as the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, and our special guest is Toya Horton, and she is the Senior Director of Administration at CLB. Welcome, Toya.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Thank you for joining this Madhap radio show. We appreciate it. Let me just start off and ask about your title, the senior. Does that mean y'all have junior administrative people running around?
No, we do not have juniors. I believe it starts off as assistant, then director, and then senior.
Okay. And how long have you been with Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind?
I've been with CLB for a little over 6 years, so maybe 6 years and maybe 6 months, maybe.
Okay. Well, person being blind and having a guide dog, did I hear some barking behind you?
Unfortunately so. He's normally very, very quiet. I moved him in two different locations And he's just determined that he's going to work today. I do apologize. He's just not going to stop.
No, I understand. That's why I say me having a guide dog, I know, you know, how for some kind of reason they know when, when they shouldn't be off, but they know when to be on. So we understand that, okay, because we're dog lovers. So,
I appreciate it because I moved him twice.
Believe me, I understand. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get to how you started to get the paycheck for Columbia Lighthouse of the Blind.
So my background is social work. So I have a degree in social work, and I have been working in a nonprofit field for many, many years. I started out with individuals who have a learning disability, a cognitive disability. Then I moved towards individuals who have cognitive disabilities, but also have trouble in the community. So I did some work with the Department of Juvenile Services in the state of Maryland, and I transitioned to CLB after working for the contracting with the Department of Juvenile Services.
Oh, so are you originally from this area, from the DMV?
So I don't consider myself from the DMV. I am from Baltimore. I am from Baltimore County.
Okay.
Yes, I am a Baltimorean, but I don't live in that area anymore, but I am most definitely from Baltimore.
Oh, okay. All right, Ms. Renee.
Okay, so you have a lot of experience that will help us and help our listeners understand a little bit more about what a unique area this is. Okay. So the DMV, Washington, D.C., and Maryland and Virginia, is a unique area with three distinct agencies who serve the blind and low vision in each state. Now, you interact with DOORS, the Department of Rehabilitation Services in Maryland. What is DOORS, and at what stage do you get involved with a, I don't know if you call them a client or you call them a participant?
Okay. What I will share is that Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind is a vendor for DOORS. So we have a cocktail of services that we offer to visually impaired and blind residents for the state of Maryland. In order for CLB to receive a authorization for services, that individual must be linked with DOORS. If the client is not linked with DOORS, we do assist in that process.
Okay.
But a lot of my communication with DOORS is identifying our capacity for services and making sure that we have the proper authorizations and making sure we and share with DOORS when we are having training and programs. For an example, we put out a schedule for our Foundation to Adjustment to Blindness class monthly, and we share that schedule with DOORS so they can invite their consumers to participate.
Okay, so
let me ask a question here, though. So say that a resident in Maryland or PG County wanted your services and say, you know, they don't want to, because let's face it, from what we understand that we have DOOR representatives here, it's quite a process and a waiting period. So say a person don't want to wait to go through that and they want to pay out of pocket to get the services from Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. Is that possible, or do they have to be a client or customer of one of the agencies?
So all clients within the DMV most definitely can pay for services that they would like to have rendered. That could be FAB, orientation and mobility, independent living, assistive technology. So we do, or I'm sorry, a low vision exam. They would be the services that we most definitely take after you can pay for the service without going through a state agency.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, Ms. Renee, go ahead.
Okay,
to,
well, since you've introduced
know,
it, well, yeah, since you've introduced that idea, so why don't you tell us about the SAB program?
So I'll share information about the SAB program, as I am not mm-hmm. the expert, but I will most definitely share. We
okay.
offer two SAB programs. One is a 5-day program, and one is a 9-day program, or 2-week program. In that program, we offer independent living skills, orientation and mobility, as well as assistive technology. Our assistive technology is an intro. All of the training is an intro, and we do follow that consumer home after their session at CLB just to make sure that the items that they get with their kit they're able to use in their home environment. So that's just a brief summary of our SAB program.
Okay, and again, you know, we have listeners that are new to the program, so
mm-hmm.
some of the terms, when you talk about OMB, help a person who is maybe new to blindness or new to the language of the community, what is OMB?
So it's orientation and mobility, and it is travel training, using a white cane to be independent in the community.
Okay, because, you know, oftentimes people who are not exposed or believe that you just give a person a white cane and they somehow magically know how to use it. And so, well, I'm just saying that, you know, I've had too many people tell me that, you mean you have to teach them how to use the cane and the information that the cane gives back to the blind or low vision person. That conduit is lost on people who are not familiar with it at all. So I appreciate you talking about that. And now you talk a little, you also spoke a little bit about assistive technology. We are a technology technology age, whether you want to accept it or not. What is the special challenge for a blind or low vision person using assistive technology? First, what is assistive technology? Well, I mean, and I know that you're not directly involved with that, but just to give us an idea. And two, what is, let's talk about what is considered assistive technology for a blind and low vision person.
Sure. First, I would like to share that we, CLB, noticed that during the pandemic, a lot of our consumers were, I'm going to use the word lost, but wasn't able to keep up due to technology barriers. So, for example, individuals had smartphones but did not know how to use the smartphone. So with that
mm-hmm.
being said, I'll share what technology is. Technology at CLB, what we offer is smartphone training, screen reader training. So, for example, for those who are ZoomText, JAWS, or Enthusion screen readers, we assist with the intro to an advanced class to assist consumers with learning that skill set.
Okay. When we come back on the other side of the break, I want you to explain JAWS and screen readers. Again, it's new language for persons who aren't familiar. And the smartphones, I would like you to expand on that a little bit. So on the other side, Reverend Ray, I'll let you pick that up. You are listening to Razor Edge Production presents CLB, formerly known as Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Reverend Ray? Let's find out more about smartphones and JAWS screen readers.
Well, and now JAWS, is that the big fish? You know, but like you say, Miss Renee, in this DMV area, which we everything is initial, you know, like we even say DMV, and we say, you know, in JAWS. And I remember one time JAWS stood for Job Access Work, whatever. And that's because they was, believe it or not, it was, the intent was, if you learn JAWS, the screen reading, you was going to get a job, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these was going to be like, you know, skilled blind people. So jobs, what, you know, access, word, whatever. So, but you know, we're getting a lot of controversy that we thought that once we got these screen readers and the technology would be as such that blind people could be able to get computers, but, and we'll talk about this another time, but we are finding, unfortunately, being able to afford this access equipment that easy. You got to have internet. That costs a little bit of money to have in your house. Then you got to have the computer that, you know, even though they're cheaper mm-hmm. now, you probably get one for $500 or one of these programs where they almost give them to you free. And then you got to buy, then you have to buy the software, which we are speaking of as JAWS now. Ms. Horton explained a little bit of that. And then after you get the software, you got to get somebody to teach you how to use this stuff, which can be anywhere from $45 to $60 or up an hour. And a go, and how many hours it take to get somewhat efficient on it, and then there are updates and up and software advancement as you go along. So it's not, you know, cheap to right. be on the even playing field with a sighted people. So Miss Toya, tell us a little bit about, as you understand, JAWS to be and how you all you know, service it to the blind community.
Sure. So JAWS, as I shared before, is a screen reader. And what that means is that the screen reader is most definitely installed on a computer, which, like you said, you will need internet access to use. But JAWS will read the screen for you, and you're able to maneuver. Yes, absolutely. And you're able to maneuver that screen using JAWS. So,
and see, that's
often lost.
That's often lost on sighted people. When you say a screen reader, I was so glad that you explained that, because I didn't know what that meant exactly, and I think many listeners new to it. It reads the screen on whatever is on. So you access regular screens, and then it reads what is on the screen for the blind or low vision person.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good explanation. Thank you.
And then the other system I mentioned is ZoomText, and that is a magnifier on the actual computer screen, which will cause you, which you'll be able to see what's on the screen at a larger font, but it's not going to talk to you.
Okay, so that's for low vision persons that have low vision.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So I mentioned both. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's for low vision, absolutely.
Now, now, at one time in Columbia Lighthouse, I know they doing a lot of changes, like I say, for Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, and they seem to be really branding CLB, I guess, because they are doing other type of programs and stuff. And because at one time, Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind was a vendor where they sold the computers as well as sold the software as well as did the training. Now, is that still the case, or they gotten somewhat away from being a vendor of those that hardware and just doing training in terms of the skills?
Yes, we are just a trainer service. We are no longer a vendor where you can purchase.
Now, you mentioned the FAD program here again with these ABC alphabet soup. we tell them what FAD stands for, and we're going to get the FAD person on to give us the down and dirty. But right now, can you tell us just what FAD stands for?
Sure. It's Foundations to Adjustment to Blindness. That's what the acronym says.
I'm sorry, you keep breaking up. Foundations to what?
To Adjustment to Blindness.
Adjustments. Oh, I thought you had to be fabulous to be in the program.
You can be fabulous to come to the program. It's a lot of fabulous people that walk through that door. Most definitely.
Well, you know what? Okay, we're going to get back to being serious. Now, you mentioned doors. That's in Maryland. But the district has a little bit different approach. It's called RSA, Rehabilitation Services Administration. Do they use a different model, or how does that model work?
So we are very fortunate in the district. And I'll share we are a vendor for RSA, but we're very fortunate in the district, and I'll explain why. We have a human care agreement, which just means that we have an agreement with RSA for us to CLB to be a vendor. Wonderful. So we can receive authorization for array of services, just as we do for doors, very much the same. And I'll run through them quickly. Okay. So that would be the FAB, cane training, I'm just using regular words, independent living, you know, computer training. And then we also do some work with them with our teams in transition, as well as we do with doors. And sorry I did not mention that. So we receive authorizations for those services, but we have funding allotted for district residents where they do not need to have an authorization and be linked to the district to receive services. I'll say it again.
Wow.
Great.
We have an agreement with RSA where you do not have to be linked with the district to receive Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind services. I know, wonderful, right? You just have to be a resident of the district and be eligible for that service. So as long as you meet the criteria, which most people are in need of the service, so they meet the criteria and they are a district resident, CLB can provide services.
Okay,
so the elephant in the room, let me ask, since you say this is so wonderful, do that mean you don't have it with Prince George County, or you don't have it with Montgomery County, or you don't have it with Northern Virginia?
This is an ILOB grant that is only with the district. It's coming directly from the state agency. It's not coming from the local community. It's coming directly from the district.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Wait a minute, Mr. Renee, I want to stay on there. So so can such a thing like that be created in Prince George County and in the other counties? Can that same grant be created?
So what I will share with you is that Maryland has a ILOB grant. It's just not given to any vendors anymore. DOORS distribute the funds by the counselors. It's not given to an actual vendor. In the past, it was given to vendors, and CLB participated.
Ah, What does ILOB stand for?
Older Living Blind.
Oh, okay.
It's for blind individuals who are older.
Okay.
So that means the older blind. Yeah. So that means the older blind person in PG County or Montgomery County or Northern Virginia has to go through the state agency. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes because each state and district is different.
Okay.
Well, you know, my question is this. You've got DOORS in Maryland. You have the DCRSA in the district. And you have Virginia uses a DBVI. The question then is that there's a disparity in geographically where you live is dependent upon the quality of service, not the quality of service, but the accessibility of service. Is that what we're to understand?
Accessibility, I believe, accessibility for me, how I see it, is that CLB offers services to the DMV. What I think the question is it's different funding for each state or district.
Okay, so right now I can grant your wish, any wish you want. Would it be easier for a vendor to have a similar process in all three jurisdictions? This is just a what if. If you could use my magic wand and make it just so that all the blind and low vision people in this area could have equal access, how would you go about that? Would you take that on as like, yeah, we should have it across the board? Or does this system work effectively?
So what I will say, if I had a magic wand, I would make sure or request with my magic wand that the surrounding states from the district have the same service. Absolutely. Hands down, I believe that it would help so many people that are in need that may not be able to have that resource to fill out the paperwork to complete an application with their state agency. Absolutely.
Okay, well, if I come across that wand, I'm going to get it to you as soon as possible. Because just listening to you, just listening to you, and you're doing a wonderful job of explaining the various programs or the various methodologies used in each jurisdiction. But I can only imagine what a person new to blindness or to a person who has to fill out all these forms is overwhelmed by all that has to be done and understanding the difference just in how you have broken down the different programs that are available. And I know we're coming up against the break, but I do want you to come back and answer what is independent living. Again, you know, there's agency speak, and people speak it oftentimes, and people who are new to blindness are like, I have no idea what independent living is. I know that I can be in the FAB program because I am fabulous, but we got to find out about the independent living. So we are going to go to a break, and on the other side, you'll answer that, and then, Rev, you can jump in with all of your questions because you have a lot.
Yeah, because I want to pursue what the constituents can do or the residents can do to bring about this even access across the board. All right.
Since we're not going to get a magic wand anytime soon. I got you, Rev. You are listening to Razor Edge Production presents CLB, formerly known as the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Are you looking for an active older adult group that cares about all the issues facing older adults? Check out AARP 939 of Suitland, Maryland, the only chapter in Prince George's County. President Catherine Williamson invites you to join her every first Tuesday of the month. The next meeting is Tuesday, the 7th of November, at the Knights of Columbus Hall, 3611 Stewart Road in the District Heights, Maryland. That's the Knights of Columbus Hall, District Heights, Maryland, Tuesday, next week, the 7th of November. If you need more information about AARP, you can email them at aarp939@yahoo.com. That's aarp939@yahoo.com. Back over to Reverend Ray and our very special guest, Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. The name has changed, but the mission remains the same, and our guest is Toya Horton. Back over to you, Reverend Ray.
All right. And before we move to another question, Toya, and since you have this FAD program, that means you have a newly blind individuals coming into the program, and I notice more and more a disclaimer that I work, my day job is for, I'm on the staff of at-large Councilman Hawkins of PG County, and we get a lot of calls, you know, concerning the difference between Columbia Lighthouse of the Blind, I mean, the Washington area and PG County and all. And so okay, Columbia Lighthouse of the Blind is not their job as a marketing and sales to go out and, you know, and beat on the doors of these government agencies and make sure that they, you know, funding is whatever. But how does the individuals that need these services, and I know it's about 10 blind groups in this area, you know, the National Federation of Blind, American Council of the Blind, the IIB, all these different blind groups that need services, getting older, you know, need these services. How can they, and I know obviously they talk about it among themselves, you know, how do they advocate to get funding that Washington, D.C. gives out to you all? I'm sure there's some discussion about that, because I think even Columbia Lighthouse of the Blind, I think they even have a couple of support groups, Victoria Hamilton Friends Group, and I think Annie does a group about phone. So how do these groups, or do these groups get empowered, or do y'all, you know, have them up chin? Give me a C. I mean, I don't know. But anyway. But is there discussion along that line?
So as we see that the need in Prince George's County grows every year, I continue to stress to as many people as I can to write letters to their council members, as well as call. When CLB writes for services for Prince George's County, I always try my best to put in data. For example, how many people that's in the area that are blind and visually impaired? So they can see those numbers in our, you know, request or proposal for service. That's really important, because I don't believe that Prince George's County is completely aware of how many blind and visually impaired people are in their area that need services. I think that's why the services is limited, or limited to no services. So I think that just trying to educate and share what those numbers look like on my end is very important, and as well as empowering the people who live in Prince George's County to speak out as much as possible. So that way, you know, the people, you know, the council members who see what, you know, the people who are visually impaired are up against.
Okay, well, I'm going to.
That's an excellent point.
Well, Ms. Renee, I'm going to state here that I'm going to make it a goal to get that in front of the council in the months to come. To get that information from you, Ms. Toya, and sit down with some council people to, you know, because I'm out right here on the floor with them. I can go from room to room. They can't kick me out. They all know me. All, you know, people want to kiss the dog, hold the dog, bring stuff. So why are they bringing that and talking to you? I can talk about the blind people. And so I'm going to make it a point to have a meeting with you, to have you come here to the Wayne King Curry building to have a meeting to give me these statistics and stuff where we can make that happen. Because I think PG County should pay their fair, you know, portion of all the blind individuals here. We really don't have a handle. One time in D.C., they used to be a register before, I think, Murray Berry, the mayor, came, that they had a register of how many blind people and, you know, and all of that kind of thing. And I don't think that exists anymore. But, you all have the figures, the data of how many people, you know, running over there and all. So, okay, so I appreciate that. So I'll make it a point to get in touch with you to have a meeting, okay? I will definitely do that.
Sounds great.
All right, Ms. Renee. Okay.
Well, no, but Ms. Toya, I think that you have made something so important. Reverend Ray hosted. He's too modest to talk about this, but his boss had said to him, I don't see any blind people. And, you know, again, with paratransit, is both a blessing and a curse because they are isolated away from the general population when they're traveling. So they're not as visible as they used to be. Having said that, in May, he hosted an event, and there were approximately 150 blind and low-vision people there. And he walks up to his boss, and he says, this is just a portion of them. If nothing else that listeners hear from today, listen to what Mr. LaToya said. If they don't know you exist, they cannot have programs for you. You've got to write your local councilman, your representative, anybody that can make a decision in terms of additional services. So I appreciate you talking about the scope of services because I think that that is where the blind and low vision community is not seen, no pun intended, because they are out of sight and therefore out of mind. Because we have people listening from the DMV, if we don't touch on Virginia, we will get mad, crazy phone calls about why didn't you ask about Virginia? Now, Virginia uses DBVI, the Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired. How is it the same or different from the Maryland and the district approaches to blind and low vision people?
So what I will share from my history of working at CLB, Virginia and Maryland are very similar in terms of service. So, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. No, I did not say that. You said it low, but I heard it. That's funny. But they do provide authorizations for services, but I'm making mention of it's not a pot of money that is being offered to a blind agency to render the service. It's more of you are linked with them, you did an application with DBVI, and you have a counselor, and they put you on a track for, you know, what you're going to receive for blindness training and services, and then they provide authorizations to vendors like CLB throughout the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a question. When a person comes to you, newly blind or new to low vision, where is the starting point? Do they start with one of these agencies? Do they come to Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind? Where do they even begin to look for services?
So when a individual calls CLB for services, we do a intake over the phone where we gather a lot of information. And the intake takes about 15 to 20 minutes. And in that intake process is where we learn about if that individual is linked to a state agency.
Mm-hmm.
And if that individual is not linked to a state agency, we give that information to that individual over the phone, so therefore they can start the process. That doesn't mean that CLB will not provide services, but they still need to be linked with a state agency to fund them on different it could be technology that they may need that we do the training, but we don't provide the technology. So that's an example of, you know, a good reason to be linked to your state agency.
Gotcha.
But we most definitely will provide the service. But sometimes it could be something small as the consumer has a flip phone, the one that's just a flip up and dial the numbers, and they need, you know, a smartphone, which is an iPhone, to help them, you know, to navigate through travel or just using the internet. So something small like that is a great reason why you should be linked to your state agency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me understand. I want to just clarify. So you CLB can interact directly with participants, or you can direct them to an agency provider depending upon what their needs are.
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you deal mainly with adult
CLB participants? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, make your point, please.
So in turn, CLB does not turn anyone away. We just may not be able to provide a large amount of services. We may only be able to meet you where you are with that one specific need at the time.
And that's important for people to hear, because with any new physical or health issue, people are traumatized. They don't know where to begin. And if I were looking, I would look Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. Okay, that it's in the name. They must help blind and low vision people, and I think that's important, and I'm glad that you made that point. Do you deal mainly with adult participants, and is there an age range?
So we have a array of service that we provide, from school services for students who are visually impaired and blind, up to seniors in the community. Our largest population that we serve are adults, but we also provide services to students under the age of 18.
Okay, and I think, again, that's so important. That's so important to know, because people oftentimes call the councilman's office and say, I have a friend who is experiencing this, and sometimes people just don't even know, dealing with the emotional side of it, even where to begin. So that is such a great explanation, that people know exactly where to go. So I want to ask you, now, is there a situation or a participant that stands out for you where you were able to make a difference? Whether it's referring them to the right agency or something you were able to do through CLB resources that you could share with us?
Sure. Because I'm in the Silver Spring office, where all of our incoming calls come from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, we get calls all the time, and situations can vary depending on the individual needs. And we are very sympathetic towards people who are in need. That's one thing I can say, that CLB, we most definitely meet the consumers where they are. So for an example,
let me do this final break, and when you come on the other side, would you please finish sharing that story? Thank you so much. We're at our final break, and you are listening to Razor Edge Production presents CLB, formerly known as the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And back to our very special guest, Toya Horton. And she was about to finish a situation or a person, a participant, that was that stands out in her memory that she wants to share.
Thank you, Renee. So we received a call from a consumer who was in need of travel training with a white cane and was not linked to a state agency but didn't meet our DMV criteria. This individual was in Howard County, which was very close to Montgomery County and Burtonsville, but really needed the training. We most definitely made arrangements for travel for CLB staff to meet the consumer closer to the Montgomery County side, so therefore we could just start the process of using a white cane so that individual would be more familiar and independent and safe in the community. So that's just one situation that sticks out that I can remember, but individuals call all the time, and again, we meet each individual where they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that's so important.
Yeah, let me ask a question here. And could they say 65? 10,000 people turning 65 years old or something a day, and there's over 70-some million baby boomers, and these people are getting older, and the baby boomers used to be the group that did all the crazy stuff and everything because they thought they was invincible, and now they're paying for it. They, you know, bodies are broken down and all. But they say one out of every three person turning 65 is going to have serious visual problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so given that CLB is going to be a revenue for these folks, but and that brings me to a question, because I get a lot of calls from constituents talking about they remember when CLB would teach them how to thread a needle, how to sew, how to make a bid up, and all of that. And I told them that they don't have that place down on the 14th and P anymore. And so that is, other than the FAD program, and the FAD program basically gives the person the idea of what services they can get through, I guess, their agencies to get them more training in the independent living areas. So is that correct that CLB, you can't call it there anymore and you know, get somebody to show you how to make a bid up, how to thread a needle and all that kind of stuff. That you all's not in that business anymore, right?
So let me explain. So let's go back and let me explain what independent living skills are. Independent living skills are, a better term would be homemaking skills inside the home. So, for example, navigating around your home because you're newly blind, putting bump dots on your stove, raise levels on your stove so therefore you can learn how to turn the dialer and know where to stop by using a raised bump. Also organizing the cabinet. You know, for example, like you said, making up a bed, that is part of independent living. Using a needle and thread, all of that's independent living. So again, it's about meeting the consumer where they are. If that's what their need is, most definitely that's an area that we can touch on.
Because, for example,
in our fab apartment or room that we have a bed, and it has two nightstands, and it's just like an apartment setting, and you can make up the bed. So with that, we do teach that skill set, so we didn't move away from that.
I wanted you to
give us a definition of independent living. Again, you know, sometimes we use terms that are unfamiliar to, we know the words, but we're unfamiliar with the concept. So I love that idea that you are breaking it out. Does the FAB program teach people how to cook, or to, you talk about the safety aspect with the raised bumps on the stove. Does it actually teach them how to do basic food preparation?
Most definitely. They're learning how to use a knife properly to cut up vegetables or fruit, and they are also learning how to use a stove properly or heat up a pot properly. That's a skill set that they're using inside the training.
You know, oftentimes when we're talking about people who are unfamiliar with blindness and low vision, especially for funders, people that we are going to, whether it's the local government or somebody else, when we use the term independent living, they can't wrap their head around that easily. However, when we talk about going in to scramble an egg for breakfast and what they have to do, they begin to identify with a blind and low vision person. Going to the refrigerator, where do you store your eggs? How do you crack your eggs? How do you get the right temperature on your skillet? And how do you then transfer that to your plate, et cetera, et cetera? Things that we do oftentimes as sighted people that take a little bit more forethought on a blind or low vision. So I'm so glad that you broke out the definition of independent living, because making a bed seems really simple until you close your eyes and try to do it. Or even navigating in the bathroom, where there are so many things. You've got face cloths and towels and toothbrushes, and how do you put all of those things so you can go back and find them in the right place? So those are challenges, and I'm glad that you broke that out so people understand independent living more so than just the words. Rev, we are coming up to the final to our close. And I want you to get in any final questions that you have. Do you have one for Ms. Horton?
Well, I just want to thank Ms. Toya for sharing with us today, because, you know, even though it seemed like we have made a lot of progress in accepting blindness, sharing awareness of blindness, it seems like every step we take forward is like two steps we taking back, and some we taking sideways. So one of the things I try to do, and I'm sure CLB still do, is to encourage people to be a spokesman for themselves and advocate for themselves and these services that they need, because God knows they're going to need more of these services. You know, and I hear people say, oh, if they give to a blind person or blind organization, they say, oh, I gave to Columbia Lighthouse already. Well, no. they think any blind situation associated with Columbia Lighthouse with a blind, and that is not the case. So we have to direct people to Columbia Lighthouse for the blind with the wonderful work that they do. And we appreciate you, Tora, coming on. And like I say, I will definitely be intentional in having you come up to Prince George County to have a meeting at the council's office, so we can talk about those services, because I need those services too as I get older and older. And so thank you, thank you. Just tell us how people can get in touch with Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, Ms. Toya, and your group.
Sure. You can call Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind by dialing 240-737-5100. You can also reach us at our website at www.clb.org. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And get that dog a dog biscuit for me, because what kind of dog you have there?
He's a Maltese.
Oh yeah, yeah. You sound expensive. Okay, what's his name?
His name is Major.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. You sound expensive. Okay, thank you very much. We will be talking to you again throughout the year. Thank you so much. And thank you, Ms. Jocelyn,
you.
And Mr. Tony, for allowing you to come and share with us. Because this is their show. This is CLB's show that Kip heard here every 2 months. I don't even know how to say it, but it's held every quarterly on the first Friday, every quarterly. This is CLB New Radio Show, and be sharing with you about the wonderful work that they're doing there. And each month we will have a different program that they'll be talking about. And hopefully we can get Fad, since we keep talking about Fad, we can get that program person to come on in December if they don't have so much time that they have to take off the whole month or lose their leave. Okay, I'm meddling now. All right, Miss Renee, Reverend Ray.
Well,
this
let
is
me
Reverend
do the
Ray
close. Thank you, Miss Toya.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Razor Edge Production Presents CLB, formerly known as the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, where the name has changed, but the mission remains the same, to provide services to the blind and newly blind persons in the DMV. That's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. Want to hear this show again or one of our past shows? Go to our website, revrayrazor.com. That's REVRAYRAYSOR. Any closing thoughts, Rev?
As I like to say with my closing, this is Reverend Ray, and I like to say I might not have sight, but I can have vision. God bless and be blessed.
This is a Razor Edge production, presents CLB, the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, where the name has changed, but the mission remains the same.